Welcome back, everybody. I remind you all here in the Mark Steiner Show, reminding you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. Belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com, or if you go to steinershow.org, there is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. We're going to talk this next part of our program about an issue that is really under the radar. We talk a lot about homelessness in our world, but we don't really understand the depth of the issue of young people who are homeless. How many students in our schools who are homeless? How many young people are just in the street because they've been thrown out of their house? They can't live at their home for whatever reason. And it's a huge issue. A bunch of years back, we did a little piece on young people who are living in abandoned homes together in their own communities just for their own safety and find a place to live. Those things are real. So we're going to talk about that this hour. We have with us Delegate Mary Washington, who represents Maryland's 43rd District in Baltimore City, has been a huge advocate in this area and has been working on it. Good to have you back.
As always, thank
Dr.
you.
Dr. Delegate.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Ryan Shanahan is with us. He's Youth Reach Maryland Project Manager. Ryan, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And Sergio Hopkins is a 26-year-old homeless youth advocate and peer intern at YES, Youth Empowered Society, and has been involved for years with the Rose Street Center in East Baltimore, one of my home groups that I was there at the beginning of that group, so it's good to meet you. Good to have you here.
How you doing?
I'm good. All right. So y'all can join us here, 410-319-8888. You can write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner. I log on to our Facebook pages, but do call in, 410-319-8888. So, Mary, let me start with you, if I might.
Yeah.
I know you've been, in terms of the political figures in the state, it's become a central issue for you. So talk a bit about the depth of what we are about to talk about.
Well, So about 2 years ago, actually, Sergio and his colleagues came to me during my second term, my second year in Annapolis, and then they were interested in a bond bill for transitional housing for youth. And I said, wait a minute, what do you mean? And I started to understand through the Youth Empowerment Society and through research nationally that and throughout our state that we really didn't have a concerted focus on homelessness, one place to actually study it. And then we also weren't particularly focusing on young people, and that there were a number of way too many young people in our state who, as you said in your opening remarks, who are unstably housed. And so what we are undertaking is, for the very first time in the state of Maryland, in six jurisdictions, we are reaching out to assist, to account, to end homelessness in the state of Maryland. And it's Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Prince George's County, Anne Arundel County, Washington County, because we also want, this is a statewide issue.
It is.
It's rural, and then on the Eastern Shore. So those are those six jurisdictions.
Well, I remember in the stories we did years back, another series we did, that we visited homeless encampments and people living in the woods in Cecil County, whole families. Young people living in the woods in Cecil County. I mean, it's a statewide issue. It's not just a Baltimore City issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, Sergio, tell me a bit about how you got into this and why you went to Mary in the first place.
We got into it preferably as a group of young people because we were homeless and we was trying to figure out how to deal with the situation.
You've been homeless?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how to deal with the situation and, like, better the situation for us and future, like, people. We started, like, meeting people and try to get an overnight shelter first, but that wasn't working. So we came up with a plan to do a drop-in center, and that's where YES Drop-In Center came from. So everything fell into place.
Over on Charles Street?
Yes.
Right, right.
2315.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how that came about. And Rose Street played a big part because he introduced me, Mr. Clayton.
Mm-hmm. Clayton Guyton. Yes, my
man. He introduced me to Laura Law, and everything else fell. And I started testifying against bills and helping with a bunch of political issues and justice about polices and stuff.
And what was really admirable to me and why I felt like we had to engage as adults is that here we had young people who have formed this mutual aid society and were helping each other out, and that we, at every step of this project, from the cast, we drafted legislation for the task force to study unaccompanied homeless youth. We had young people that actually served on that task force. State agencies served on the task force. Nonprofit organizations that are engaging and trying to address the issue of homelessness or youth homelessness were part of that task force. And out of that task force, one of the recommendations was that we really needed to identify and connect with young people so that we had a clear understanding of the needs and the nature and the scope of the of young people who are experiencing homelessness under the age of 20, 24. And so I think Sergio will tell you that we have young people as young as 14 who are out there struggling, and we they're not connected in foster care, and they're not connected into any of our services.
Yeah, they only feel that way because, like, our age group, we feel comfortable talking to someone our age, and we feel like you'll be better understanding of how to connect us where we need to go if you better in your situation. But if you're not better in your situation, what is you teaching us? A bunch of bad stuff on how to do wrong. Like, you can teach us that all day long, but if you ain't teaching us how to, like, better ourselves as an older generation, whereas though you know, like, the ins and outs, then we ain't gonna get better. But, like, can't just clarify it's just no good and, like, bad. Because, like, we don't really necessarily understand the documents or how to go about it, where to go. Like, if you make the services better and more job opportunities, like, instead of job trainings, like, job opportunities, like, somewhere where so we can go get a job. Instead of, like, we go get a training and a trade and can't do nothing with it. Like, we need better opportunities. Like, and that'll make our life better because you need money to take care of yourself.
Exactly.
You need housing. You know, and, like, not someone else's house, but, like, our own. And there's a lot of bandos and, like, vacant houses in the city that could be owned by some young people or anyone, and it's not going that way.
Right now, many of them are just it's homeless people living inside of them, but it's not their houses, right?
Yeah, like, it's not yours.
Right. And so, Ryan, so talk a bit about this count.
So, as Delegate Washington mentioned, it's taking place in six regions in Maryland. It's being implemented locally by continuums of care, who are federally designated to plan the continuum of services for homeless persons in their localities. So they're conducting the count using a variety of methods. One is the administration of a survey via street count. So they're identifying hotspots, assigning volunteers who include youth themselves, who we're calling youth ambassadors for this project, to go out into the street and in areas where homeless youth are likely to congregate and administer the survey. They're also planning magnet events to attract homeless youth by providing just some basic services, meals, maybe help with applying for jobs and things like this, to and also administering the survey at the events. We're also undertaking a coordinated administrative data count. So we're talking with our child welfare agencies, juvenile justice agencies, and shelters who are providing homeless services to collect data that way on the number of homeless youth in those areas.
So, and that's also critical. And folks, please do join us here at 410-319-8888. We want to hear your thoughts on this and your ideas about it. We've talked a lot about homelessness on this program and have for the last 20-some years, which is one of the crying shames. We have to keep talking about it for 23 years in the air. But we do, and we need to be able to put our hands around it and figure out solutions, which I think we can do if we're serious about the issue.
Absolutely.
And about people's lives. Sergio, I'm curious, I'm sure listeners are curious. When you first said that you were homeless when you were younger,
right?
Could you tell us what that story was? What happened to you? Why you were homeless? Where were you?
I was in Baltimore City, but I was in group homes too, but I aged out the system. And my mother and father not living, so that was like
they both passed away.
Right.
Wow. How old were you when they passed?
I was young, like real young. My grandmother raised me though, but over time she died too, so that's how DSS played in. But when I got older, like I got out of the DSS system and DJS and all of that stuff, And I played, like, with the couch surfing, as they would, like, technically would call it, like, from house to house with my aunt and my uncle. But I got old enough to, like, be manageable for myself. And you got to pay bills. You got to get a responsibility somewhere in life. And that's how that played out. But, like, it ain't work out too well, selling drugs and doing the crazy stuff. Like,
so where were you living when this was happening? Wherever you could find?
No. Like, the bandos, shelters. Mm-hmm. Different types of living situations. Like, a little strange. We can't get into too much of a detail.
Okay.
But, yeah, I had a learning situation, though. Because I know how to take care of myself now more than I used to. Like, I know how to, like, manage a bunch of different types of things. And I'm able to talk about it, which I wasn't, like, more open about it when I was younger.
Because it was too difficult to talk about?
No, just I felt like it wasn't nobody's business.
Okay.
But when you start talking to people, you find out like, that they could be the one to help you. And I tell people that a lot. Like, you never know who you could be talking to or why you're talking to them and what they can do for you or when they can do it. Might be good or bad, but you're going to learn something from it. So be willing to be, like, open about a situation instead of be closed-minded. Because you won't get far, because you don't know what's, like, the next opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, I was, like, closed in a lot. I was mad at the world, but I ain't blame nobody out loud.
You said you were mad at the world.
Yeah, but I ain't blame nobody out loud. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, because I felt as though, like, Baltimore City should give out more support, but, like, the support ain't always, like, in one place. So they give you the runarounds, and I don't like that either. And a lot of people feel that way. So that's my experience, though.
And that's, I would say that's one of the things that we've really learned by working together and listening to young people and having them drive this process.
Mm-hmm.
There was a steering committee that has met over the last year that I served on, and members from Sergio's organization served on, as well as people from the School of Social Work and the Department of Housing and Community Development. And we really listened and developed this survey and all of the plans for how to move forward, listening directly to them. And it was very important that we provide funds and opportunities for these young people to develop their skills and to reach out to other people, because they're going to be the ones that are going to lead this. And as adults, I felt as adult allies, it's our responsibility to help these young people throughout the system. Sergio mentioned that one of the things we found out through our work on the task force was that our foster care system was contributing to a number of people being unstably housed. In other words, we were transitioning young people out of our system without the supports that they need. So one of the recommendations from the task force was legislation, which we passed last year, that now requires that the judge, upon emancipation or upon the process where they leave the system, that they ask the question, do you have a place to live for the next year? Make sure that you have your Social Security card. Make sure that you have your birth certificate. All these things that a lot of us take for granted as we transition to adulthood, because we've had the support, we've not, as the state, as Marylanders, provided that support for our young people.
So we do have to take a quick break here and come right back to this conversation. Please join us at 410-319-8888. I really want to explore, as we get back, how serious the youth homelessness problem is in Baltimore, our state, what we think the numbers are, and really what everybody at the table thinks about what we can and should do about it. Please join us here at 410-319-8888 with your thoughts and ideas. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We continue our conversation on youth homelessness here on the Mark Steiner Show with Delegate Mary Washington, who represents Maryland's 43rd District in Baltimore City, Ryan Shanahan, Youth Reach Maryland Project Manager, Sergio Hopkins, who is a 26-year-old homeless youth advocate and peer intern at the Youth Empowered Society, and has been involved for years with the Rose Street Community Center on the east side of town. And you at 410-319-8888. So talk a bit about what you think the depth of this issue is, Ryan, from your perspective. As you put it during break, as a nuts and bolts man,
right,
from your perspective there.
So we know from some past efforts that have been conducted in Baltimore City and Prince George's County, for example, that there are unaccompanied homeless youth, upwards of 640 in Baltimore City, and that was based on a count done in 2011, and that was just a one-night count. And in Prince George's County, I think it's averaged about 185 homeless youth on a given night in three consecutive years from 2011 to 2014. So we know that from these kind of isolated counts that the problem exists. We see it in our schools also. Schools are required to report on the number of homeless youth they're encountering. And these youth aren't necessarily unaccompanied, but they do find that there are about 16,000 homeless youth. They could be living with families, though, so it could be living. But we know that a certain percentage of those youth are unaccompanied.
16,000 statewide or in the city?
Statewide, yes. So we know that the problem exists, and we do need to build our efforts to better estimate the size and scope of unaccompanied homeless youth throughout the state.
So I'm curious on the state level, mm-hmm. What the issues and challenges and problems are that people like you face at Mary Washington when they had to tackle this issue on the state level and with other delegates. This is,
Well, yeah. What I'm happy to say is that we've just, through passing a series of legislation that I sponsored in collaboration with Senator Rich Mandolino and a number of other people who now form the Joint Committee on Ending Homelessness. So that legislation just took effect this year. So now we actually have a joint committee that is made up of state senators as well as state delegates. And we had our first hearing September 8th to find out exactly where we are on the issue of homelessness. We also formed, through that package of legislation, the Interagency Council on Homelessness, which created a council of state agencies working together. What was different about this is that we joined state agencies as well as advocacy organizations together on a single council to address and look at issues of homelessness. And so both the results of this Youth Reach Maryland project will be reported to those entities, and we really have an opportunity. The biggest challenge is that there is not a budgetary and policy home for addressing homelessness, ironically. And so through this interagency council and through the joint committee, for the first time going forward into the 2016 legislative session, we'll have a vehicle to begin to collect all the various projects and programs under one roof and really begin to figure out how we can have both a public and private partnership in addressing this issue. Right now, we are not spending nearly enough money or attention on the issue, but I believe these vehicles will allow us to do that.
So, it seems to me sometimes what I felt in all these years of kind of living with it, walking through it, working in it, that there's not very much real imagination or thought given to how to resolve this, other than patching things up. I mean, when I first started working with young people in the early 70s who'd been incarcerated in the streets, there was no youth homelessness. It didn't exist.
Right.
It wasn't even on the radar because it just didn't happen.
Right.
But we're in a world now where it has happened since a lot of policies in the 90s and 80s that destroyed housing money for cities and states and more. It's been blown up, and now we have this issue that never existed in a major way. So I'm curious Sergio, when you want to push this and push this envelope and to push this idea in terms of what we're not thinking about, how we're not using our imaginations and ideas about how to really get to the bottom of this, what would you start talking about?
How you gotta qualify for housing? Like, what you gotta be under the influence of? Like, you gotta have some type of disease to automatically get it, or like you gotta have a woman with children is more qualified to get it than a single man. You gotta be a family. You gotta have issues. You gotta have a job. With no money. You feel me? Like, we ain't got no money, so we ain't got no job. You gotta, fill out a bunch of paperwork. And then, it's just the qualifications. Like, it'd be too many stipulations. Like you're not teaching us this in school, but then when we get out of school, you expect us to know this, that, and the third about life. Or, Like, you don't, like, tell us about it when we get other services. Like, we get our ID, like, well, look, something, 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 complying to, like, living. You don't tell us how to live. You just tell us what we need to do to get by, for real. Like, I think it's all about housing, though. Like, if you ain't got nowhere to go, there's a lot of vacs. Like, that's what it all boils down to.
A lot of vacant houses. Yeah. Right.
Any young person you talk to in Baltimore City will be like, well, there's a lot of vacs around my neighborhood. We can't live there because they all torn up. And we don't know how to get them. Most of the time, the city don't own them. And then when they do, it's vacant to value. Like, I think it's a cool program, like I was telling somebody else. But it's not for real. Because you got to establish some type of bank account, like some type of major money.
Right.
Like, you can't just go out there and get it. Like, you got to have some type of corporation, something. It's safe for personal use, but you still got to have the money for the personal use. And then they give you a time frame on how to fix it up. You can't just buy it and do it on your time. Like, it's just, like, I think it's just, like, as far as young people living, homelessness is our temper, just our family members, or how we was born into this world, for real. Because some people was born in a foster kid. Some people was born into, like, where's the their parents didn't love them. Some people was born into problems. Some people was born, like, just with the intentions they going to do what they want. But they ain't know how to live like a grown-up, but they was, like, forced to do it when they was younger. It's just a bunch of different ways, like, but this generation, we don't got no guidance. That's all I can say. We ain't got no guidance.
And housing, and a housing approach, this is why we wanted the Department of Housing and Community Development to be the lead agency, is that at the end of the day, this is ensuring, we want to ensure that there is affordable housing, that young people who are transitioning to adulthood can qualify, that we can remove the barriers. And we're finding that there, at times, there are different agencies and different programs that are counterproductive. In other words, if you qualify for one program, then that disqualifies you from another program. And so we need the coordination. We need to remove the barriers. We need to build affordable housing, more affordable housing, and to ensure that we take responsibility for these young people who are our children, and so that they can be the adults that we know that they are.
Ryan, you want to leap into this before we go to the phones?
Just to say that the current housing options available for unaccompanied homeless youth are woefully inadequate, and the the task force that studied this issue, you know, found that there's bed capacity to serve approximately 8 youth in Baltimore City, on an emergency basis. There's the one drop-in center with the S Institute. There's very limited transitional and full supportive housing and permanent housing. So the options out there are few and far in between.
Few and far between. Let me get the phones here. 410-319-8888. Your thoughts on homelessness and youth homelessness and what we can do about it. Your questions for our three guests, Delegate Mary Washington, Ryan Shanahan, and Sergio Hopkins. 410-319-8888. Kenneth, welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I tell you, it's a shame. Baltimore, the people who are involved in housing, the housing authority, ought to be ashamed of itself. You got young ladies out here with children, pushing them in strollers, one in the stomach, one in the stroller, and one in their arms. Okay, I see it every day. You go to the library, that's all you see. Of course, yeah, they got my sister's place and various other places, but it's not longevity for these type of situations. You know, this is something that really needs to be on emergency basis. Kill the red tape. I can hear the frustration in the young man's face. What he's saying is it's too much red tape that they don't understand. You know, they're just young people, and they're trying to find a roof over their head. And then when they get a roof over their head, housing doesn't keep up with the people once they get into housing. They can't find adequate maintenance, and there's some things that's wrong. Well, that's another show that's going on in housing. But it's a shame that we have to witness this every day. Our young people living in squalor. Well, they're not living. They're just walking the streets, and with the little children walking, that's rough on a child.
Yep.
When you got to walk the street all day. Hold on, let me say something. That's rough on a child when they got to walk the street with their mother all day long. You know, and we sit there and we watch it, the powers that be. We watch this.
Kenneth, I think what you're saying is very powerful. I mean, when I was saying, yep, I wasn't going to cut you off. I was agreeing with you. And I think that you know, begs the question before I go to our next caller, which is, you know, why it's so hard politically, whether in the city or the state, to put our money where our mouths are. Everybody talks about homelessness, worries about it, says it's not right. But when it comes to really putting the money into housing, so there is no homelessness, to get rid of vacancies. I mean, mm-hmm. people don't even realize, and what Kenneth was saying, what it's like to wake up in the morning and walk out of your house, if you have a house, and everything around you is dead.
And that's right? why we I have mean, that's... to we have to demand, and that's why we are so committed to this. It's easy, particularly when you're talking about young people. It's easy to imagine that young woman is just out on a walk with her children. It's easy to they are because it's not safe in the shelters for young people, because in general they're more vulnerable than others. They actively hide themselves, and so it's easy for us to walk around and imagine that maybe there's seven, maybe there's eight, mm-hmm. when we actually know that there are scores and scores, thousands, if not tens of thousands. And so shows like this, campaigns like Youth Reach Maryland, advocacy organizations like the Yes Empowerment Center, Restoration Gardens is just one facility that has 38 beds. We need that for housing for transitional age youth. We need supportive housing. They need shelter. They need permanent supportive housing, transitional. We must demand this for our young people.
Do you want to say something before we get back to the phones?
Yeah, just this count is going to be the first step in mobilizing policymakers towards real action, and it's going to be critical for us at the University of Maryland School of Social Work to get the results analyzed and out into policymakers' hands as fast as possible so that we can better allocate resources and plan an effective continuum of services for these youth.
You teach there?
No, I'm staff, but we have an excellent team of faculty who are working on this as well. Yes.
410-319-8888. Glenda, welcome to the program.
I am so glad to hear that there are organizations out there helping. It is not only a urban problem. Homelessness for youth and displacement for youth is also a problem in the suburban. I work with an organization called Georgia Penn Alliance, and we actually house displaced youth. And so it is becoming a really serious problem, not only in the urban areas, but also in the suburban areas.
Right.
And the problem with a lot of agencies being known, not unless they're state-funded, they usually don't get any, you know, play or any credit for being out there. So we do have facilities in Howard County, and we are willing to take some of the youth displaced from Baltimore City and place them in Howard County. Hmm. But we'll talk about that at a later time.
Oh, please email us. Please go to the website youthreachmaryland.org, and please connect with us.
So, or Glenda, before you hang up, if you want to, leave your number with our producers. I'll give your number to Delegate Mary Washington, so you can hook up by phone and have a conversation about this.
Thank you so
certainly,
much. And you're
certainly
absolutely right. There are so many people that are on the ground doing this work every day. And again, the coalition that we're working, sure, there are the ones that everyone knows, but we're also working with people who are out there on the streets, really fighting the real fight. And thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Glenda, for the call and your work. 410-319-8888. One more caller in here before we turn to our guests and have to close out. Abdullah on line five. Welcome.
Yes, how you doing?
Very well, welcome.
It's really sad that because we got young people, I work in the downtown area, I'm in the Cockeysville area, and then when I look at the people in the county versus the people in the city, and a lot of times these people, they be talking about they're going to help, but then when they get a position, and I personally believe that there's racism, I'm talking about far as even the government, in terms of getting the programs and stuff, because they got vacant schools and stuff where they could open up and, you know, take care of this right away. I mean, it's just really pathetic when you have young people in so-called mayor around the mayor's office, homeless, And it's just like in Washington, D.C., you know, down in the Capitol, it's homeless people. You know, and I feel like that we're supposed to take, I think that people should take care of home first. And it's just pathetic because I'm here in an upscale neighborhood. That's not none of this mess going on. All this stuff is just going on. Most of this stuff is definitely going on in the black community. And I'm going to say, well, it ain't about race. Well, yes, it is. Because eventually, in the long run, all this stuff is going to link back into the county. So if you don't take care of business, then it's going to link. And that's where crime and all that other stuff come in, and it start linking in the county. And all you got to do is put the people to work and, you know, be producers. That's what it's all about, helping one another. That's what it's supposed to be about. That's all I have to say about that.
Abdullah, thanks so much for your call. I think that part of the key to this is work and putting people, getting people jobs so they can work and have housing, and that's what's happened. That's how we have fallen apart. Any final thoughts about where you all are going before we have to close out the segment very quickly?
Where are we going? What do you mean where are we going?
We have to close. We have to go to the next segment. So we have to close out. So I just want to have any final quick thoughts before we do close out.
Oh no, not at all. Besides the last caller, like I think he right. It is like not necessarily a race thing, but it is a race thing because like. Every time we always talk about a conflict, it's more about black people than any other race. Like, it's probably going to get worse, but they got a Black Lives Matter slogan and everything. So I feel where he's coming from. And he said he live in an uppity community, and it don't happen too often, not to his eyes anyway.
Delegate Washington. And
well, we can prevent end homelessness not only for our young people, but for all people. It means that we have to have a coordinated community response. We have to be willing to look in the mirror and recognize that this is a intolerable situation, that we cannot live in one of the wealthiest states in the nation and have individuals who don't have a home. And that has to become our priority over the next few years to end homelessness. And we can do it.
And I just want to say that these counts, like Youth Reach Maryland, can get real results. We've seen in Washington, King County, Washington, that as a result of a similar count, they were able to establish a rental subsidy for youth and case management services. In Massachusetts, they passed the Unaccompanied Homeless Youth Act, which freed up $2 million in funding. And then in Washington, D.C., they were able to build an 8-bed homeless youth drop-in center for this population. So it starts with real data, and that's what we're doing.
I want to thank all of you for being here. It's good to have you all here with us. We just heard Ryan Shanahan, who is Youth Reach Maryland Project Manager, Delegate Mary Washington, who has been active on this issue, represents Maryland's 43rd district in the state of Maryland General Assembly, and Sergio Hopkins, who's a 26-year-old homeless youth advocate and peer intern with Youth Empowered Society and has been involved with Rose Street Community Center in East Baltimore for years. And it's good to have the three of you with us. Good luck on this project. We'll check back in and see you on the east side.
All right.
Thank you, Mark.
So much.
We're going to take a very brief break, and when we return, we are going to look to what happened in the United Nations, what's happening with Russia, China, and the U.S., and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.